You're listening to BSRN, Box Studios Radio Network. Now it's time for another Power Play post-show interview exclusive.
All right, we're here with head coach of the Binghamton Senators, Kirk Kleinendorf. Coach, as always, thank you very much for talking to me. I see you usually on game nights and whatnot, but I appreciate you inviting me in here, office here, so we can talk a little bit about you, which you don't usually do, but we'll try to do that today.
A little bit.
Talk about Providence College. You go into Providence College as a young hockey player. Why Providence? Did they scout you? How did you get involved with Providence?
Well, that one's an easy one. I mean, I was coming out of high school way back in the day. 1979 is when I graduated from high school. Grand Rapids, Minnesota, northern Minnesota. We feel like we're half Canadian up there. I mean, Hockey is what it's all about. So hockey's been a part of my life forever. And I was very fortunate. We had a good program at the time. A lot of quality players. So we were exposed, and we got a lot of college scouts that came in and watched us play. So I was fortunate. I had some options coming out of high school. But the reason I ended up at Providence College was because my brother had gone out the year before. He was the class of 78. I was the class of 79. We were very close growing up. And really, just to go out and spend 4 years at Providence College along with my brother just kind of trumped every other school that was out there. So in hindsight, one of the best decisions that I ever made. I was lucky. I had options. I could have gone to Wisconsin and Michigan State and North Dakota and UMD and Minnesota, a lot of great programs. And I chose Providence College. And the reason I did it was really mostly because of my brother, but a lot of it had to do with Lou Lamoriello as well.
So was that one of the first people you met up with at Providence? Did he come see you play? How did that work out?
Well, again, I mean, it wasn't hard from his end, I don't believe, right. Only because I know that at that particular time I was one of the top recruits coming out of Minnesota. So that wouldn't have been hard for him to figure that one out. But he followed us. I don't know that he had ever seen me play in person.
Really?
I don't think he ever did. I think he went on the people that he knew. I think that he had a great network in the state of Minnesota at the time. He usually had 6 or 7 Minnesota recruits, pretty much every year, at least in his program. So that wasn't so much of an issue with regard to that. But he was a great recruiter. The one thing that Lou could do is he knew everything about you. He took the time to find out about you. He knew what kind of person you were. He knew what your background was. I mean, this was a guy that was making a commitment for 4 years, and he was going to make sure that, you know, he did his due diligence, and he always did.
It's kind of like the way you are as well as a coach, at least from what I've seen in the past, you know, year or so. Here in Binghamton, you get to know your players. You have a different way about you than most head coaches that I've seen and everything. Started with Lou. Was there anybody else that you played for or coached with that kind of helped mold you into this?
Well, I think there's two parts to it for me. The one is Lou, for sure. And I give Lou a tremendous amount of credit. I have a lot of respect for Lou Lamoriello. I mean, we've been together since 1979. He's been really good for me in a lot of areas. I mean, he gave me an opportunity to come back from Europe and to be an assistant coach with the big club. And, you know, he told me to be patient. Someday, you know, I'll put you in the American League and you can be the head coach down there. So he's always followed through on his promises. And that's just the kind of guy that he is. And, you know, he treats people very well. But you're right. I do remember Lou. And I'll use my brother again as an example along with myself. I mean, we were born in the same town. We were raised by the same parents, played for the same coaches, but we were about as different as you could possibly get. You know, like Scotty was the kind of kid that you could just get on him, you could ream him. He would get mad, he'd have smoke coming out of his ears, and he'd go out and he'd perform very well. I, on the other hand, I was completely opposite, you know. And the thing that I learned was Lou took the time to identify how he needed to handle my brother. He took the time to identify how he needed to handle me to get the most out of both of us, and we were completely opposites. So if he had treated me the same way that he treated my brother, he never would have gotten my full potential. So that was the first lesson that I learned. And the second one just reinforced it, and it was my experience with the 1984 Olympic team. I came out of college as an All-American. You know, I led the ECAC at the time in scoring. I was a Hobey Baker finalist. I was a pretty good hockey player coming out of college, if I must say. And so I joined the Olympic team, the pre-tour, where, you know, we spent 7 months together. And I became not a very good hockey player all of a sudden, you know. And nothing really changed from my end. Mm-hmm. I was still the same hockey player. I still could skate. I still could shoot. I could still pass. I thought the game very well. But the but is the way that the coaches handled me. Great lesson for me. And at the time, I didn't realize it, you know. I mean, I really didn't realize how I could go from being such a good hockey player that played the game with so much confidence and contributed every night to a guy that just lost his confidence. And I don't lay it all on the coaches, for sure, but I do lay quite a bit of it on the coaches, because they didn't handle me the way they needed to handle me. They didn't understand what kind of a player I was. They didn't know what needed to be done to get the most out of me. So when you ask me about why I am the way I am, I give those two examples right there. And I think that they've really defined me as a coach. I understand, because I have a family, mm-hmm. that every one of these guys in my locker room, they're somebody's son, and I treat them that way. I really do. I know that, you know, they all have feelings, and I know that they're pro hockey players. They get a paycheck every 2 weeks, but that doesn't change the fact that they have feelings. And each and every one of those guys, I have to get to know in my mind so that I know exactly how I need to handle them so I can get the most out of them.
One of the things that I noticed last year was when you guys were a man down, sometimes two men down, you were on the phones. You were calling people that you probably knew in the ECHL from being there before or being in the Devils organization. And so you had a lot of contacts. But you also, at one time, was a scout. One time was a GM, I think, over in the UK and everything. All these things kind of formulate and kind of like create the person that you can be. Because in this time, line of work, your line of work, you can't just be a coach. You sometimes have to be a scout. You sometimes have to be a general manager. I mean, it really does take a lot to become successful, a lot of different things. You have to be, you know, some people say, well, you can be great at one thing. Sometimes you have to be great at a lot of things.
Well, I mean, one of the things that coaches have to be, they have to be problem solvers, yeah. You know. And if you were to talk to my wife, I mean, the one thing that she appreciates about me is there is no such thing as a catastrophe in my eyes. You know, there really isn't. I mean, things aren't necessarily always going to go the way you want them to go. But you know what? Once you've had the issue, mm-hmm. it's not so much about the issue as it is how we're going to solve this issue. You know, how are we going to get through it? How are we going to do what we got to do to move on? And you know what? Experiences. I always say you can't experience anything until you've experienced it.
Yeah.
You can think about it. You can think how some things may happen or how some things may go wrong. But I got to tell you, until you're in the heat of the moment, or until something blows up in your face and you actually have to manage that situation, you don't really know how you're going to handle the situation. So for me, you know, it's just like taking a couple steps back, thinking about what it is we need to do, whether it's find a couple defensemen because we're short on the blue line, or find a couple forwards, or if we have internal issues that have to be solved. I mean, fortunately for me now, I'm getting to the point where I've been around long enough that most of the things that happen have happened to me at one point or another. And some of the times I've handled them very well. Other times, maybe I haven't. But generally, the second time through, I get it right.
I believe you played in Europe. I believe you played in the old IHL back when even it was still kind of a veteran league a little bit. Do you think those experiences of doing more... I look at a couple coaches in the American Hockey League, and the ones that I think are the most successful are the ones that have done a lot of the different things that you can do out there. Play in Europe, play here in the American Hockey League, and or play in the IHL at one time and everything. Do you believe those experiences kind of help you to understand what they're doing or what they're feeling out there?
What the players are feeling?
Yeah.
Well, again, I think it's a few things. for sure. I mean, again, it's having that experience, you know. And then some of it is just what kind of a makeup are you? You know, what kind of a person are you? What kind of a personality do you possess? I mean, you know, there are certain things that I do in my locker room that other coaches wouldn't even think twice about doing, you know, or they wouldn't be bothered to do it. You know, there's certain things that are important to me that I guarantee you are not important to other coaches, you know. So part of who I am is kind of determined by some of the experiences that I've had as a coach, finding out what works, what doesn't work, you know, kind of, you know, individually and even with your group. And then, you know, the other part of it is just dealing with things as to what I feel are important, and what's important to me isn't necessarily what might be important to you.
I said a month before last year's playoffs, this team ain't making the playoffs. I said it. I probably said it on my show two or three times. Then the team goes and makes the playoffs. Sitting up in the press box, Ken Kale calling the game for the Manchester Monarchs. I remember after game five, I said, okay, you know, BSN's won this, but I'm telling you right now, Manchester fans, you're going to win one of the next two games up in Manchester, no doubt in my mind. You guys come out of that series obviously winning it. And historically, there's a lot of numbers you can throw out from that, the penalty shot, all that. Why did the team make the playoffs? Why did the team win that series?
Well, I think one of the things that, first of all, you know, you can't win four games in overtime and not feel a little bit fortunate, you know.
Yeah,
and you can't avoid a penalty shot in a second overtime and not feel a little bit fortunate. I mean, you know, that's the one thing that I marvel at, is like we were so close to not getting to the second round. And I said all along that the key to us winning a championship would be whether or not we could get through the first round. And I felt like if we could find a way to get through the first round, I just knew that we were just going to get better and better and better and better, because we hadn't been together for a while as a group. And it turns out that that's exactly what happened. But if you need, you know, like from my end, why was it we were able to manage to get through that particular series? It was just that we established early on that we weren't going to be getting too excited when we won hockey games, and we weren't going to start beating ourselves up when we lost hockey games. That when we won a game, you know, we would enjoy it until our heads hit the pillow, and remember this, and wake up the next morning and start getting focused for the next game. And just like if we lost a game, okay, guys, this has to sting until our heads hit the pillow, but then when we wake up, you got to let it go, and we got to start focusing for the next one. And that's exactly the way we approached it. And I think that it was the fact that we were able to just keep our minds real steady, and we kept pushing forward, and, you know, we didn't get caught up in winning and losing, is really what got us through it.
I don't remember the answer to this question, but it's part of what I want to talk to you about last year's team. I don't remember how Ryan Keller became the captain last year. What I do know is it was almost like 100% the perfect captain, a guy that you could talk to and a guy that could still be a guy with guys. How did that happen? Because I truly believe that not just Keller, but a lot of the veteran leadership on the team really helped pull that team through. But Ryan Keller just seemed to be the perfect captain, not just for you, but for those guys as well.
Yeah, when it comes to picking a captain, you always want to get the right guy, you know. And it's not always the guy that gets the most points, you know. And it's not always the guy that's the oldest guy in the locker room. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. I mean, but when you're trying to find your captain, what you're trying to do is find that guy who's an extension of who you are. And I think Ryan Keller fit that for me. And the one thing is, Kells deserves a lot of credit. I mean, he was wonderful, and we don't win a championship without him. But I can tell you that there were a number of times when I wanted to meet with my captain that I had my whole core group in my office.
Right.
So it wasn't just Ryan Keller, and it wasn't just the other four assistant captains. It was those probably six or seven players that in my mind were the core guys, that were the guys that were going to be an extension of me in the locker room, so that we always had a united front. And that's what I talk about. You know, like when we are together in front of our group, we are a united front. Now, that's not to say, guys, that you're going to agree with everything that I want to do, everything that I say. There's going to be days where you don't agree, and that's fine. but we don't agree in here, in my office. It's not out there in front of the group, because in front of the group, we are a united front. So my captain is an extension of me, but also my core group is an extension of myself and my captain into the locker room. And I think that's why we were able to do what we did, because we had great leadership that went beyond Ryan Keller last year.
And it's kind of funny, because we were talking a little bit before we started recording today, a little bit about Lou and your relationship with Lou and how Lou runs his business and stuff like that with the Devils and everything. It sounds fairly similar to that, but with your influence on it and everything, like kind of like we're a family. This is how we're going to handle it. We're going to handle it here. We're not going to do it out on the front porch so the rest of the neighbors can hear us. We're going to do it inside of here. Are those the type of things that you did get from Lou and how he does his business?
I'm sure. Yeah. You know, like, again, what you have to do is you have to take your experiences and you have to absorb what you like about those experiences. And individuals can be part of your experience. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, there are things that Lou does that I still do today because he did them, and I think they make sense for what we're trying to accomplish. And Lou was so big on family, for sure. You know, mm-hmm. he takes care of his people. I like to think that I take care of my people. Lou was really big on paying attention to details. I mean, to the point where, and again, I practice these things, and I tell my guys, I understand that you may not understand the value of this, mm-hmm. but I'm just here to tell you there's value, and even though you don't see it today, maybe you will down the road.
Right.
White tape on white socks. Red tape on red socks.
Yeah.
I mean, I make guys shave. I make guys keep their hair cut. You know, I mean, there are a lot of things that I believe in that some coaches have no time for, that they feel is probably just an absolute waste of my time and my energy, but I don't believe that. I believe that the devil is in the detail. You know, I believe that it's all about the little things, and when you start letting those little things pile up, all of a sudden you start to get a bump under the rug because of everything that you're pushing under the rug. And I don't like to sweep dirt under the rug. I like to take care of it.
It's kind of funny because as you mentioned, as you talk about that, I think of George Steinbrenner. It sounds so strange. And you wouldn't fire somebody at a flip of a hat like that. But he was always about the details, always about the little things. The wearing the suits to the stadium, the shaving and stuff like that. He had these rules in place because he believed that if you were disciplined enough to a certain degree on the small details of your whole life, you'd be a better baseball player. And I'm not saying that, you know, you're anything like George Steinbrenner, but it's very interesting how success comes from those type of things and the details and whatnot. Can you talk a little bit about, I asked you this question after the Binghamton Senators won the Cup last year. Do you realize what you did for this city, this town? And it's kind of interesting because back in the 70s, the Hockey News labeled this city, you know, Hockey Town USA, which has been thrown out there a couple places. I think Detroit's the most famous of being Hockey Town USA. But no other head coach, no other team has brought a championship to this city. And I think I asked you the question, do you realize how big it was? Since then, what does it mean to you that, A, you brought a championship to this city and that your team just accomplished that great goal, especially a year after what you did with the development group?
Yeah, you know what? It's amazing. I don't think you ever really appreciate, I don't anyway, you know, where I am in my life mm-hmm. necessarily. I mean, I think you wake up in the morning and I have a wife and I have kids and I go down and I make breakfast and, you know, I'm a normal guy that lives a normal life and I come to the rink and I do what I love to do. You know, I see this as a little bit of a grind. I mean, people probably see this as being real glamorous and glorious and it's a lot of hard work, but I don't mind the hard work because I actually don't look at it as work. I look at this as me coming to the work, to my job every day, loving what I do, you know. And there aren't a lot of people, I'm sure there are. There are others that love what they do.
Yeah.
But I love what I do, and I know that I'm very fortunate. So I just live my life. And when you ask those questions, honestly, I can tell you that it never really crosses my mind. Was it neat? Oh, absolutely. Was it one of the best experiences that I've ever had as a player or a coach? Absolutely. But it was more of a relief. It was almost like the year I was with the under-18s in Ann Arbor.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was just, we went over there and we were workmanlike again. And, you know, this was my team that I put together and worked with for 8 months. And we went over there and we put a clinic. We put on a clinic. And, you know, when all was said and done, it was an unbelievable feeling. But it was more a feeling of relief for me. You know, because I kind of sensed that that's really what I'm supposed to do. And just like last year, you know, like I thought, God, if we can just get into the playoffs, you know, like we'd been so challenged last year, you know, we'd lost so many players. And, you know, I honestly, again, I don't know how we did it. I know we had a great February, but I really believe we won the championship in March when we just had almost every day we were losing a player and we'd have to find a player. And our guys just somehow kept winning. And we got enough points to get into the playoffs. So, you know, initially, I got to tell you, Bob, I was just like, man, if we could just get in, this would really be a nice accomplishment. Not even thinking about winning a Calder Cup, you know. And then, you know, we did manage to get in. So now I'm thinking, you know what, if we can just get through the first round, you know, nobody can say this wasn't a good year under the circumstances. You know, like nobody could be critical of the job that we've done. And, you know, and then all of a sudden we got through the first round, and I'm like, you know, God, if we could just get through the next round, I mean, nobody could be critical. And next thing you know, it was the next thing. And now it's like, oh, man, I'd hate to go through all this and not win a championship, you know. So then when that puck bounced out, you know, off that face-off, and you knew there was no way they could tag up and get a puck to the net and we were going to win.
So you felt relief.
Oh, it was unbelievable. There. I felt relief. I felt accomplishment for sure. But I think I felt relief more than anything because, you know, we want to be, coaches want to do well. Coaches want to win championships. But I got to tell you that, you know, it was probably more just, whew, I'm relieved and this is pretty unique, a pretty neat accomplishment.
And it's kind of funny because it's funny where experiences in life takes you. You know, in 1980, when I came to my first hockey game ever, I'd already been skating for 5 years on a beaver pond in the middle of the country. My mom was a figure skater when she was younger, so she taught my brother and I how to skate a lot. 1980, I go to my first live game here in Binghamton, and then 20-some years later, or 30-some years later, I'm sitting at a TV studio watching the city that I'd loved for so much win a cup. And I wasn't home celebrating with my family, my friends, and whatnot and so forth. I was literally just inside going, what am I going to see on TV in 5 minutes? Yeah. You know? And it wasn't until Christmas of this past year that I actually looked back at it and, you know, I got a lot of stuff that symbolized what we, you know, what the team had gone through and even myself as a broadcaster, a growing broadcaster and stuff. And I got to say, I didn't feel relief. I felt, wow. This was huge, and I say wow in the sense that so many call-ups, so many, and I even heard a lot of people say, oh, this was an NHL team that won. I was like, no, one guy played 55 games up there, and that was Zach Smith. Everybody else played a handful of games. They got the look-see because the team up there was being dismantled, so to speak. So I think it's very interesting how you and I went through it together, you in a more work ethic and had to do more work things. And at the end, it's different, but it's still a great feeling either way.
No question. I mean, we didn't really talk as much about the Binghamton thing. I mean,
yeah.
I agree with you that this is a really neat town when it comes to being part of this team, you know. And I remember when I did my interview, the first question that Brian asked me was, what about Binghamton? And I'm like, well, Binghamton for me isn't going to be a problem at all.
Yeah.
And I don't really understand the reputation of Binghamton, to be quite honest with you. I mean, it's a small little American town. So my response, I kind of knew the point in the question, but my answer was, you don't have to worry about that. I'll find the positives in Binghamton. You know, like, that's just the way I live my life. I mean, if you want to look for negatives, I mean, it doesn't matter if it's New York City. You can find the negatives in New York City.
Absolutely.
You know, but let's look for the positives, you know. And that's really the way that I approach everything that I do is, you know what, I know there's negatives and negative in everything, but I'm the kind of guy that's looking for the positives. But I'm keeping an eye on the negatives, too. I'm not a dum-dum, you know, but I'm not going to let it affect me.
Right.
And then once you get here and, you know, this was a neat experience. Again, don't forget, I'm coming from Lowell. And, again, great little town, but there's not a whole lot of people that follow their AHL team or did follow the AHL team. So we played, you know, a lot of nights in front of nobody, and most nights less than a couple thousand people, and there wasn't a lot of atmosphere, and everybody worked really hard to get people in the building, and I think that the Devils cared a lot, but it just wasn't a good market, and I'm sure that's why they're in Albany right now. Here, it's a little bit different than that. I mean, I can't pump gas without somebody asking me, you know, commenting about the team and good luck this weekend. Yeah. And if I go to Sam's Club, you know, there's people in there that work there that always want to ask me how are we going to do this weekend. And I mean, it's absolutely amazing. And so from that end, you know, this has been a really neat experience for me because it's so much more enjoyable to do our craft when people, at least you get the feeling that people appreciate what you do. And even now, you know, I can't even begin to tell you how much I appreciate the fact that the people have been so understanding of what we haven't accomplished this year. You know what I mean? Because I'm no different than anybody. I mean, we won a championship last year. I was really hopeful that we... And again, I'm still hopeful. So I don't want this to come out in a negative way. I mean, obviously, anything is possible. You know, I like to think that if anybody could do it, if any group could do it, it would be our group, honestly, because I think we have a tremendous amount of character, and I've seen a lot of growth in our younger players. But I'm no different than our fans. I was really disappointed when we got off to the start, you know, that we got off to. The fact that, you know, we were a completely different team than the team that we had last year, and the fact that we had success last year, not just in the win-loss column, winning a Calder Cup, but in the development of our players. Like, for me, I thought the model last year was the perfect model because I think we accomplished everything an organization would set out to accomplish.
Absolutely.
And this model is just a little bit different. And initially, I didn't understand that, you know, and I was a little bit frustrated because of that. And then the more I sit back and I see what we have, I mean, I understand. I mean, it's up to the organization to decide and determine which way they want to take this group. And this was a year that they obviously decided that they wanted to go completely away from what we'd done last year.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that we were going to grow young talent,
mm-hmm.
that we were going to pay our dues, that we were going to, you know, have some adversity strike, and that it wasn't going to be easy, but that over the course of the season, these younger players are going to develop. And, you know, the big benefit to this group, if we don't manage to get into the playoffs, is going to be next year.
Yeah.
Because of the growth that these young kids have seen this year, it's just going to come back to benefit the whole organization next year. So I guess short-term pain, if you can call 76 games short-term, I guess we're looking for the long-term gain, and I can see how that kind of a philosophy can work.
Absolutely. Coach, thank you very much for spending a little bit of time letting us get into the mind of you a little bit than just doing regular X's and O's like we usually do on a nightly basis type of thing.
Yeah.
So appreciate it very
much. My pleasure. Thanks, Bob.
Thank you.
You've been listening to this week's edition of the Power Play Post Show, covering the American Hockey League for 8 seasons. Tune in next week from the Box Studios Radio Network and keep up to date with the latest news, scores, and interviews from around the AHL. This has been the Power Play Post Show.